for some weeks after the happy event which transformed the popular Mrs. Smithers into the charming Mrs. John Pedagog, all went well at that lady's select home for single gentlemen. It was only proper that during the honeymoon, at least, of the happy couple, hostilities between the idiot and his fellow boarders should cease. It was expecting too much of mankind, however, to look for a continued armistice, and the morning arrived when nature once more reasserted herself, and trouble began. Just what it was that prompted the remark, no one knows. But it happened that the idiot did say that he thought that, after all, life on a canal boat had its advantages. Mr. Pedagog, who had come into the dining room in a slightly irritable frame of mind, induced perhaps by Mrs. Pedagog's insistence that, as he was now part proprietor of the house, he should be a little more prompt in making his contributions towards its maintenance, chose to take the remark as implying a reflection upon the way things were managed in the household. "Humph," he said. "I had hoped that your habit of airing your idiotic views had been put aside for once and for all." "Very absurd hope, my dear sir," observed the idiot. "Views that are not aired become musty. Why shouldn't I give them an atmospheric opportunity once in a while?" "Because they are the sort of views to which suffocation is the most appropriate end," snapped the schoolmaster. "Any man who asserts, as you have asserted, that life on a canal boat has its advantages ought to go further and prove his sincerity by living on one." "I can't afford it," said the idiot meekly. "It isn't cheap by any manner of means. In the first place, you can't live happily on a canal boat unless you can afford to keep horses. In fact, canal boat life is a combination of the most expensive luxuries, since it combines yachting and driving with domesticity. Nevertheless, if you will put your mind on it, you will find that with a canal boat for your home, you can do a great many things that you can't do with a house." "I decline to put my mind on a canal boat," said Mr. Pedagog sharply, passing his coffee back to Mrs. Pedagog for another lump of sugar, thereby contributing to that good lady's discomfiture, since before their marriage the mere fact that the coffee had been poured by her fair hand had given it all the sweetness it needed, or at least that was what the schoolmaster had said, and more than once at that.